since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1260. This is your host, Danny Pena, and this special episode, we have a really cool episode with Paris that he hosted a Twitter Spaces with the gaming community and had great questions about the state of Xbox in 2023. And we're going to play it here on this episode of Gamertag Radio. If you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion, this is your opportunity for you to be on, send us questions. We would like to create a whole episode of all about fan mail, but it all depends on you guys, the listeners. So here's how you could contact us and send us your questions here on Gamertag Radio.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's play this audio. Enjoy this and hope to see you next week.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Let's talk gaming. Let's see what's on everybody's mind. Obviously, there's some news that came out today. Jedi Survivor reviews are out, as well as the Xbox, Activision, Blizzard merger being denied by the CMA, things like that. I'm sure that's on people's minds, and I'm sure people have a lot of thoughts. So, per usual, when I do a space, if there's something that you want to talk about, honestly, it's an open forum. But so, whatever you want to talk about, just request to come up. We'll have a conversation, see where it goes from there. I have no set time on when this is going to end. Obviously, it really just depends on the conversation. As long as I'm not just talking to myself, I guess the conversation will continue. So, again, appreciate everyone jumping in here. And like I said, if you got anything that you want to talk about, just request to come up, and we'll jump into that dialogue. I will just say, kind of kicking this off, I'm just going to get it out of the way. I'm not a fan of talking about Xbox Activision merger and everything being denied and approved and all that stuff. I figure whatever is eventually going to happen will happen, and as gamers will adjust either way. But I will just comment and say this. I mean, I am surprised that it got denied. I'm surprised for the reason it got denied over the cloud gaming. I just don't think cloud gaming is that big of a factor currently to deny such a huge acquisition. Obviously, we see Microsoft is going to appeal it and it's going to move forward. I still think this ultimately goes through, but obviously there's going to be a bunch of hoops that need to be navigated before that does happen, because we're seeing, obviously, in other countries, it is being approved. So it looks like the CMA is going to be a stickler. I would assume the FTC is probably going to push back against this as well. So in my opinion, I know I think I've seen some news that this might go into 2024, and that won't surprise me at all. My advice to everyone is just whatever happens, happens. I mean, this is nothing to obsess over either way, whether you want it to go through or you want it to see denied, because there's really not much that we can do as consumers. I just think this is way above our pay grades, and whatever eventually does come, you know, hey, Microsoft, I think ultimately it'll be fine either way. They're a huge company. They already have a ton of studios in place. I think the most important thing for Microsoft right now, for Xbox right now, is this upcoming showcase, whatever it is that they're going to show. We know Redfall is coming out next week. The showcase is going to be basically a month after that. Have a good showing there. Give us a good roadmap of games. Start to show more of these games that you've already announced. Obviously, some more surprises, you know, would be great to see. But let's start getting some real dates on these games. Let's start getting some ranges for when we can expect games that are going to be further out, you know, than 2023 and early 2024. So at least we know when to expect them. I think that's the best thing that they can do. And then when games like a Starfield and a Forza come out later this year, they come out, you know, polished and quality. They come out as bug-free as possible, and they're just fun, enjoyable experiences. Whether you get them through Game Pass, spend $70 straight up to get them, whatever the case may be, play it on the console, play it on the PC or your mobile device, whatever the case. I think most important thing for Xbox right now is, you know, show that the studios that you already have under the Xbox Game Studios can deliver on content. That's the most important thing that they can do. Wow, I am surprised nobody's requesting up. I just will remind again that everybody's here listening. You want to come up, you got to comment about any of this stuff, just request to come up. We can have that conversation. Don't be shy. I love having dialogue. And somebody is coming up. Looks like it's prime time. Prime time, Sean. I'm bringing you up. And you should be up and you're on mute. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I have a question. I was wondering, what do you think about the Xbox and the Activision deal?
As I was just saying, I mean, hey, you know, we obviously saw what the decision was with the CMA. Looks like Microsoft is going to appeal it. I think ultimately this will eventually go through, but it's probably going to push it into 2024.
Dang, that's crazy.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's it. That was my only question.
Okay. Hey, appreciate you coming up. Hope you have a good rest of the day.
Hey, you too.
All right. Let's keep this going. I see a bunch of people requesting to come up now. So I'm going to try and grab people in order as I see them. So I see DC bringing you up, DC Gaming. And you should be there and you're on mute.
For some reason, I don't get it. I think they just like to listen to what everybody has to say.
Hey, people love to tweet at me when they're mad. Yeah, they don't like talking to me when I'm up here. That's all I know.
I know. I've been in spaces for like a year now. I just see the people just like to listen. They don't like to, you know, get up here. I think there's just like a, I don't know, they're just shy or something. But it's easy, man. Once you start talking up here, like, I just get more comfortable. Like, yeah. I don't mind. Like, you've probably seen me in like so many different spaces. Like, this is nothing. We're talking games about stuff we love, you know. We're all the same, guys.
Yeah, and I get it. Yeah, I get it. And now I'll just say this, and then we'll get to your point. I mean, I get it. Not everybody wants to come up and talk. That's fine. I mean, I've been doing this a long-ass time, and people that know me, I love to talk. So it is what it is. But, yeah, what's your question or comment on all this?
It's mostly just a comment for my Xbox fans out there. Even though I'm a PlayStation guy, I've seen like so much like doom and gloom over like the past couple weeks, like with the Redfall situation and all this other stuff. I just want to let them know it's not that bad. You know, you guys still have a ton of stuff on the way. It's just the wait to see it. Just because this deal isn't going through in the moment doesn't mean that, you know, Xbox can't be successful and stuff in the future, you know. They're a $2 trillion company. They have all the money in the world, and hopefully this just gets them even more behind investing in their own studios to make sure they don't have another Redfall situation where it looks like either they didn't give them enough budget to get enough team members to finish the game in time for 60 FPS, or for games just not launching with features complete. I mean, hopefully this is what kicks them into overdrive, because I've seen a lot of people say this is taking up their time. Well, looks like it's going to take up even more. Hopefully they don't this distract them.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I've just been saying for the last few months, that in the short term, whether it goes through or it doesn't go through, it doesn't really affect you as a gamer and what you're going to want to play. You're still going to get to play Call of Duty on whatever platform you're going to play it on anyways, right? You're still going to get to play Diablo, World of Warcraft, all that stuff is still happening. The only thing that is a byproduct of this is you're not getting Call of Duty and Diablo and Game Pass. Yep. I mean, really. I mean, that's what's happening. But to your point, I just think this does go to show that Xbox Game Studios has 23, 24 studios or whatever it may be right now, right? Let's start seeing content from them. versus worrying about what Activision is going to deliver. They got the studios. They got the talented people at these studios. Let's start. Let's see Everwild. I want to see what Everwild is. I want to see what Perfect Dark is. I want to see what Fable is. There's so many games that are in production right now that we're aware of that we have very little information about. You have Compulsion Games. What are they working on? What is In Exile working on? Where's State of Decay 3? There's a lot of content that they can show you in about a month that you can be like, okay, now I see the roadmap. I see what is coming out. I can set my expectations accordingly instead of just worrying about Activision the whole time. I think if anything, this should be a time for everybody. Let's stop obsessing over this. I see tweets from people that literally analyze every single document that comes out about this or every rumor or what every analyst says. It's
update,
too much.
Update,
it's
update, literally too update, much. Update.
Yeah.
New article.
I don't need it.
You God, know, come on.
The only update I want to see is the final one that it either went through or it didn't. That's it. That's literally all I care about. Other than that, you know, it's just a lot of people talking. But again, it's the internet, and I get it. But anything else? Anything else you want to talk about?
Nope. I'll step down in case somebody else wants to talk. Hopefully, we have some more requesters coming in.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people requesting.
All right, cool. I'll go ahead and drop down. Yep.
All right. And moving forward, looks like this is Deck bringing you up. And you should be up. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? My question is,
how you doing?
Good. Sorry if there's any background, the little ones in the back. But my question was around some of the Zelda.
You're breaking. I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
What about now?
That's better. Go ahead.
Breath of the Wild was actually my first Zelda, so I'm excited about the sequel. But I was wondering, what are your thoughts on like concerns of performance with the Switch being, you know, as old as it is right now?
I mean, I think it's valid. I've seen some people like, you know, I saw what SkillUp said about it. I saw what Gene Park was saying about it. And, you know, I think some of the performance issues, they are valid. I mean, the Switch is old hardware at this point. And even when it was brand new, it wasn't cutting edge, right? And going by what we've seen from this preview coverage, we know that this game is pushing that hardware to its very limit. So it's really going to come down to this. Like, I will just give you an example right now. Jedi Survivor. I was playing it pre-day one patch. Had performance issues. Absolutely. Frame rate drops, audio drops, crashed on me a few times. But I still enjoyed the experience enough to say, yo, this is some of the best Star Wars content I've seen in maybe ever, right? It's that good. You want to play that story, right? So it really just comes down to if you enjoyed Zelda enough, as long as you don't have consistent performance issues, you're probably just going to power through it and enjoy what you're playing. Now, if it's just too much, then I think that becomes a problem at that point. I'm pretty sure everyone has already accepted it's at 30 frames, all that stuff. It's Nintendo. Nintendo has never tried to push the power narrative and the high end. They focus on quality experiences. So I say, as long as Zelda is a quality experience, I'm getting a day one. So, I mean, I didn't see anything that's deterred me from not wanting to play it.
Yeah, same. You think we get?
Oh, you broke up. You're breaking up again. Try and repeat it one more time.
I said, do you think we get an announcement on new hardware before the end of the year?
It's looking like no. If I had to guess, probably early next year. That'd be my guess. But I don't see Nintendo like in October, November, all of a sudden saying, hey, here's the new Switch, right? I could see them kind of waiting until after the holidays, pushes through whatever else they might have in the holiday, and then announce whatever this next Switch is going to be. But I think this time next year, we'll know that new hardware is coming for the Switch. Or for Nintendo, I should say.
Cool. Well, that's all I had. So I'll just, in case anybody else has a question.
Right on. Well, hey, appreciate you coming up. Appreciate the question. Hope you have a good day. All right. Let's keep this going. See, I got some more people requesting to come up. And I got this Rebellion 64 bringing you up. And I should be there. You're on mute. How you doing?
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. How you doing?
Good. You?
Good.
That's good. So honestly, I just have an a question for you. This is more so that, do you think that Microsoft as an organization is, as at this point, prioritizing, let's say, PC or the cloud more than, let's say, Xbox at this point? Because when Phil Spencer came out last time and said that Game Pass growth on consoles has been slowing down and there's more on PC, I felt as though they are investing a lot more into PC than they are for consoles. I don't know if I'm just the one feeling that way, but I've seen quite a few Xbox fans express that type of concern, almost as though they are being classified as secondhand citizens, if I could put it that way.
I get what you're saying. And I've seen this comment more recently, especially since the Redfall news dropped. And in my personal opinion, and I think even with the financials that just came out yesterday, it's sounding like, to answer your question, no, I do not think that's the case. I do not think consoles or players are second-class citizens at this point. What I think is happening is there's a supply issue, more so with the Series X, even more than the Series S right now. Have you seen a Series X on a store shelf? Or readily, you could just buy it whenever you want? I mean, that seems to be more the problem than anything right now. Now, as far as performance issues goes and things that we've seen, you know, with a game like Redfall and some other things, I mean, I can't necessarily answer that question that they're like, let's make sure the PC and the cloud versions work better than the console version. I don't think that's the case. Personally, I think they need to get more hardware out there. And I think ultimately what it comes down to, and let's just keep it a buck, Starfield's going to be the gauge on that. When you deliver these next gen only, there ain't no more cross gen. This is made for the Series X and the S games from their internal studios. We can't have these performance issues. Bottom line. I mean, yes, Game Pass and the PC market is growing for them, but their bread and butter is still the console players. It always has been in the 21-year history now of Xbox. It's about the console. The console's not going to go anywhere. So they got to get more of them in the market. They got to get more games out there that people are wanting to go buy and play on their hardware. Now, I'm personally, and I've said this many times, I like the strategy that Xbox is doing where they're trying to bring the games to where you want to go play it, be it on the PC, be it via cloud streaming, on a mobile device, things like that. We saw that new Asus handheld that's coming out. They're going to have that announcement next week about that. You know, it looks like that's running Windows. You're going to have native Game Pass, you know, Xbox app, things like that on there. So having more options to play where you want to play is good, but no, the console still has to be a priority. I don't think they're leaving that behind at all.
Okay. And I don't think they are leaving the console behind in any way. I just was trying to find out if you think that maybe they are prioritizing PC more so than they are with their consoles.
No, I don't think so. I truly, genuinely don't think that's the case. I mean, when you think of Xbox, the first thing is going to be the console. If you start degrading the experience on console, now you're alienating the vast majority of your customers. Why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. Again, I'm just saying, you know, my own personal thought on this. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I don't think so. And, you know, just talking to enough people from Xbox over the past few years, I don't get that indication at all.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. Anything else?
No, that'll be it.
All right. Well, hey, you have a good rest of the day.
You too.
I don't think you like my answer, but okay, keep it moving. All right, this is Barmelo. Bring you up. And you there. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Name's Joe.
Good, good.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, just, I guess, piggybacking off his question, I mean, it kind of feels like, I mean, in full transparency, I am a PlayStation person. I do have a Series X, mm-hmm. and I honestly haven't touched it in like over a year. So take what I say, you know, as you want to. But I mean, I do feel like they are prioritizing PC. they really aren't giving anybody an incentive to buy an Xbox because, like, to your point, you know, they're trying to put the games wherever people are, you know, whether it's mobile or PC or whatnot. With that being said, it's like, well, why would I buy an Xbox unless I am into Xbox or I am into console gaming? Like, there's really no incentive to do that. And then it's like, when you look at the Series X and the Series S, like, I get why they made the Series S, right? Like, a lower barrier of entry for people who wanted a console. But with that, right, like, that means the manufacturing costs go down, which means the specs are inferior, right? So if you look at, like, development hell and, like, all the issues that a lot of developers, even within Microsoft, are having with the Series S, you know, it's like, it's very clear, like, there isn't really any drive to incentivize people to get an Xbox. You know, like, Ghostwire Tokyo is a prime example, right? Like, it was a timed exclusive on PS5. It came out last year. So Microsoft had, like, an extra year, you know, and it's, like, from their studio, and the game runs, like, piss poor on Xbox, you know? That's just, like, one of the many things that's going on over there. And it's, like, if you have an Xbox, like, there's really no incentive to prioritize that over PC, you know? Like, if you're in the market for an Xbox, I mean, like, if you already have one, like, it kind of is unfortunate for you. But if you're in the market for, you know, a Game Pass like experience, and, you know, you're not really particularly tied to consoles, like, I don't really see why you would get an Xbox.
And everything that you're saying is valid. That is a common theme that I've heard a lot. So I'm definitely not here to defend anything other than to just give my perspective on how I see it. I don't 100% agree with what you're saying. Let's start with the Ghostwire Tokyo thing. That, no excuse. There's no excuse. To your very point, Tango had an extra year knowing that this game was going to come to the Series X and to S to make sure that it was fully optimized and ready to go. We obviously don't know what happens in development. Again, I'm not a developer. I'm not in that studio.
Right.
I don't know if there were any issues, things, or whatever, but to have an extra year and to basically deliver a subpar performance compared to what it was on your competitor's platform, if I was in charge, that's unacceptable.
Yeah,
no,
it's almost like they don't care. It's like you know how it runs, why would you holding it back for a month or so, you know, to just make sure it's where it needs to be. Like, this is your studio, you know, it just looks bad.
No, but let me say this, and When I'm not saying this like as a slight on you,
right, but no, totally.
What you said of it's like they don't care. I can guarantee you the people that work at these studios care.
No, absolutely. Someone who works at a big corp, like, I work for American Express, like, I care about my day to day, but, like, at the end of the day, like, I don't make the decisions, you know. So, like,
no, and then,
the powers that be, whether it's Phil, whether it's Satya, like, whoever, like, they clearly do not care enough, you know? Not the people who are actually making the games, you know? They you know, they put their blood, sweat, and tears into it. Like, they obviously care. Leadership doesn't care. Because leadership decides. Someone was like, hey, this is not ready. Like, they know how it runs on PS5. They obviously see how it runs on their own hardware. So I'm sure someone knew it wasn't ready. It's not like it came out and they're, oh, my God. You know what I mean? Like, someone made that call.
Yeah, and again, I cannot dispute any of that because at some point there's someone that makes the call on that and then you run with it. Just like I've talked about with Redfall coming out at 30 frames, somebody decided, you know what, we're not delaying this, we're putting it out and we'll get the 60 frames per second patch out whenever we do because we don't know when it's coming out,
yeah.
Right? Again, this is where communication comes into it. But to your overall point, no, I do not think PC has become a priority over it, because let's just take you as an example, and I would take myself as an example. I got a PlayStation, I got an Xbox, I got a PC. If I only have a PC and I have no interest, zero interest, I've invested thousands of dollars into this PC, I have no interest in getting an Xbox or a PlayStation,
right.
but I can play those games on my PC, then I think of it from Xbox perspective, they just gained a customer.
Right.
Regardless of them getting the hardware, instead of limiting it to just one particular piece of hardware, they're bringing that game to an audience that would have no interest in ever spending the money to get the hardware. And if you flip it, their PC gaming ain't cheap. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah.
Basically, to replicate the experience that you're going to have on a PS5 or an Xbox Series X, the bidding starts at $1,000, and really it's more than that, but let's just say $1,000 for this conversation, right? That is double the price of me walking into a store and buying a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox.
Absolutely. So
again, why would you alienate that audience that literally cannot afford to, quote unquote, have this high-end PC to play your games? No, you're going to make systems. This is why the S exists, to make sure that at a minimum, here's your entry into, quote unquote, next gen gaming. And again, I'm not trying to sound like
I hear you. I play, you know, devil's advocate too. But I mean, clearly the hardware, yeah, nobody wants it either. You know, like, the people have spoken, you know, like, the sales aren't there.
Here's what I would say to that. The games speak for that. You have a bunch of dope games, guarantee the hardware sells. Because people are gonna want to play.
I think I do appreciate the subscription model. I do feel like that's the future, and like, obviously they're doing it for financial reasons, but I do commend the idea of them putting games everywhere. But like, you've seen this model other places, right? Like Netflix, so on and so forth. Like, it doesn't work, you know. I think for like indie games, smaller games, like, it's a viable solution right now. But like, in terms of big AAA games, like, you're not gonna make money on those. So like, I think if anything, it deters studios from making those big games, you know. Like, we know God of War costs like $250 million. Like, you can't put that on a $10 subscription. Like, you know, they no one buys games on Xbox. Like, they just get Game Pass. Like, what's the incentive to even make games then? Like, on that scale.
But can I interject? Because I hear this one a lot too. And again, don't work there. Don't know their financials. But my point is, neither do you or anyone that says that, in the sense that we don't know what's viable for them. And what is cost effective for them. And statistically, the vast majority of people do not subscribe to Game Pass. They buy the games at $60, $70 a pop. So this brings it back to, again, make the games. Release these games. If you're putting these games out and you have quality things that people want to play, clearly there's an audience that is willing to pay for them and not even subscribe. Yeah. But you do have an audience that will subscribe. And again, if the business model is to get everybody to be to subscribe, how do you do that? Content.
Yeah, content's king.
So I mean, in that sense, again, I know you're playing devil's advocate, and I appreciate
this. No, I honestly do appreciate this. It's great. I'm a big fan.
But that's kind of my point. We don't know what fuels their business model for their bottom line. If you go by the financials yesterday, it sounds like the subscription model is working for them because they're making money. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
It just said, unless I missed something, it just said like how much it generated, but like how much was lost. Like, they're so weird with their numbers and not transparent. Like, I don't know what that means.
But that's my point. See, and this
which
is,
also makes me feel, yeah, I don't know, but like, I just feel like if they had a good success story, like Hi-Fi Rush, like, was they sung it from every rooftop. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if there was something to talk about, they would, at least positively.
Yeah, and to your point, and I agree on that. This is why, whatever they're going to show in June, make it compelling.
Yeah,
and then deliver them.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really that simple. Yeah. See, like you said, you have a PlayStation, right? When I look at PlayStation has been fairly consistent since about 2014 with big titles that people want to play, that compel you to want to go buy a PlayStation and invest into that ecosystem. Microsoft has not done that just yet. I thought what we saw coming into 2020 with the Series X, I was like, here we go. Obviously, for various reasons, they're not there yet, but it has to start this year.
Right.
It does. That's just the truth of the matter. But I mean, trust me, I appreciate the conversation, and I'm glad you brought up those points. I hear them all the time. So I thank you for bringing that up, because it allows me to retort and give my perspective on it.
Great. Yeah, no, this is great. I really appreciate it. Big fan.
Yeah. Anything else?
I mean, I could keep going, but yeah, I don't want to, you know, this is great. No, this is great, but I, you know, I don't want to keep going. But I mean, I will end it with this. Like, I guess, what do you think in terms of like, I guess I kind of know your answer going off the last answer, but like, their future in terms of the next gen and like a next, is it worth investing in the next generation? You know, like, cause I think I already conceded this one. Right. And it's like this ABK thing, like, that was huge for them. And like, obviously it's bigger than console, right? They're focused on cloud and like the future, but I mean, the sales are what they are, like, and yeah, like you said, we'll see what happens, but just where we are at this point in time, like, I don't know. about the next generation? Is it like even worth releasing another console? Because maybe they just say, hey, we have Game Pass, and like maybe that's just what we try to focus on moving forward. But
I will say this. I hope that's not the case. I don't think it's the case, and I hope it's not, because again, if you look at things that should be coming out that we do know about, like Avowed as an example, coming from Obsidian, a Microsoft financially backed Obsidian is making their own RPG. That is exciting.
Yeah.
That is something I want to see.
Yeah.
Right. But you got to deliver.
Right. Right.
I got to know what is coming right out. This is the thing. Bringing back Joanna Dark is exciting to me. Can the Initiative and Crystal Dynamics deliver on it? I don't know. What the hell is Everwild? I don't know. I don't know what it is. What is it? What the hell is Compulsion Games working on? I don't know. See, it's like when you start diving into weeds of that, there's a lot of, man, that sounds like
they have so much over there. They have so much over there. It's like, and they have unlimited money. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. We will see. And we got to start getting answers as soon as
we can.
It's just a fact. So I appreciate it.
Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Of course. Hope you have a good day. All right. Let's keep that going. See, I appreciate stuff like it. You don't always have to agree. And I don't even think we're necessarily disagreeing, but different perspectives are good. So let's keep this going. 108 Dragons TV. I think I'm saying that right. I'm bringing you up. And you should be there. How are you doing?
What's good, Paris? How's everything?
Good, good, good. Just figured I'd hop on Spaces and see what everybody's thinking.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Let me speak on some things that the last two people talked about. First of all, I'm a high-end gamer, right? I'm definitely an enthusiast in terms of my PC, my PlayStation, the PlayStation VR, and both my Xbox Series X's. Let's start with Microsoft, right? First off, it's about delivering on some of these promises, right? It's about delivering on their performance, right? I always critique Microsoft. Stop telling me this console is powerful and y'all not displaying it yet, right? They have to stop showing stuff and then dropping the ball. That 12-month window, they done dropped the ball 2 or 3 times already. So that kind of deflates the community, right? Because everybody has a anticipation on what we want from a console or what we want from the companies that we prefer. You know, when these systems came out, I didn't go buy OLED. I went and bought an 8K TV, LG. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you got people making these investments. You're touting these beautiful features in 4K and Dolby Vision gaming and 120 hertz, but they have to start delivering. At some point, you have to say as a gamer, like, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? So I think they have to. I think this June is important. I'm not really worried about this ABK deal because that's stuff out of most of our understandings. And a lot of people just got sideways opinions. And but now I want to talk about PlayStation because somebody said, is it worth having a Xbox? Is it worth having any one of them? Because there's no game definitively you need a PlayStation or Xbox Series X today. There's not one game we could definitively say, because I'm a God of War guy. And if you look the difference between God of War and PS4 and PS5, is it that much of a difference? No. I don't see. Only game I've ever seen to see to be like a game to sell a next-gen system would be the game that's not even out. And one other game, Ratchet and Clank, and I think Forza. The rest of these games we could have played on last-gen systems and not did this upgrade. So that was my perspective on that. But I do have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Now, Microsoft is not known to have these bullying ways of just taking features away from people. But one of the options they have, let's just say with the CMA, they can say, we don't have to do cloud gaming in your region, which would eliminate that problem. Well, do you think Microsoft would take those type of bold steps just to get this deal done?
I saw that earlier as well. Ultimately, I think that just does not seem to be their style, at least from the Xbox division, to do something like that. I mean, you're part of your marketing is bringing more games to more people, right? But then because you want to make an acquisition, you're literally taking games away from a particular segment of the market. If I had to guess, they'll try to do their due diligence, do it the right way, and just get the deal pushed through with whatever concessions need to be made so that everything's available to everybody at the end of the day. I don't know if you were in here earlier because I talked about it at the very top. I ultimately think this does go through. Clearly, this is, you know, a setback for them and a delay. But to the point that you also made, I don't like talking about this because we don't understand any of this, how it truly works. Facts. This is way above our pay grade.
Way above.
It is best. It is best to just wait and see what happens.
Facts.
That's why if you notice XCast and all that, I barely talk about it. I don't like talking about it. I don't like tweeting about it because I feel ultimately it's just noise. We're just talking the talk.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. So, I always tell people, stop worrying about $1 billion company and $1 trillion company and what you think from your personal perspective on what you think should happen. Because technically, somebody said Phil Spencer should be fired. And I said, you're absolutely ridiculous. First of all, Phil Spencer is not the one fighting for this deal. It's the lawyers.
Yeah.
He's not in the courtroom arguing against Sony. Jim Ryan ain't arguing. Phil ain't arguing. It's the lawyers arguing. It's the CME of regulatory bodies, which we don't know what's going on. And you have, like you said, you have some of these warriors out here who's putting out all this information. Listen, I took about a week to learn what regulatory bodies do in each region. It's too much. It's just too much. Yeah, it is. It's too much.
Here's the perspective I would put on it. And that I would say to everyone that's listening or concerned about this either way, do you really think the fate of Xbox hinges on this deal?
No, not at all.
And that's all you need. And that's all you need to know.
And Paris, you know what my big
is?
I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead, please.
My big thing with this deal, I don't care about King. I don't play on mobile. Right? I love Blizzard. My favorite game, one of my favorite games, is Call of Duty. I'm worrying about my favorite franchise going away. Because you know that the company's in turmoil. We don't know where they might end up after this, right? We know where they was heading before this. And that's what I'm worried about. I'm really worried about Call of Duty. You know what I'm saying? So that was my thing with the deal. Like, everybody got, like, they got a dog in a fight, and they really don't. But, you know, what's going to happen to Call of Duty? Is they going to continue making it? Or are these people going to walk out? Because remember, they was at the walkout stage before they allowed these unions to get involved, before they was talking about reforming this company. You know, they was talking about leaving the company, just walking out the door. And you don't want that. Bad enough, we had COVID stopping game productions. Now we got this on a major title. That's bad. That's what I think people should focus on instead of who going to make money off of Call of Duty and where it goes, because ain't none of us making money. We all spending $75 to $100 a piece. If you play it. So I think it's just crazy.
Exactly.
I think it's crazy.
Yep.
Pleasure speaking with you, my brother. Pleasure speaking with you, my brother, man. I'll holler at you later. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming up. Hope you have a good day. Right. Let's keep this moving. See some people still. Ooh, man, there's a bunch of people requesting to come up. All right. I'm trying to power through this a little more quickly since more people want to come up here. It looks like I got DJ Killzone Jones, if I'm saying that right. All right, you should be.
What's up, Paris?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing, man?
Good, good.
Yeah, man. I got a question for you, and I don't know if you can answer it, but.
No? Hey, if that's how you phrase it, no. No, but go ahead.
Well, do you know of any games that have been announced but haven't had a date, or haven't been announced, that you know about that you're excited for? You don't have to say what games, for the end of this year, going into next year. Are you excited about the back half of 2023 and 2024? Because this front half is amazing, all the games we're getting.
Off the top of my head, Replaced, which is an indie game that's coming to Xbox, going to be on Game Pass. We don't have a date, but it's coming this year. Yep, excited for that. excited for Alan Wake 2, excited for Spider-Man 2, Stalker 2 is coming this year. What else am I thinking of off the top of my head that does not have a date? I'll say something that they've not said it, but I'm just assuming it would be Hellblade 2. A lot of twos in this that I keep talking about. But yeah, that's just off the top of my head that doesn't have a date. Obviously, Forza doesn't have a date yet. We'll see on that. I mean, that's all I can think of off the top of my head, but clearly there's going to be more that we just don't even know about yet that'll be getting announced soon as well. I would say Cyberpunk with Phantom Liberty. That's another one I'm looking forward to that doesn't have a date yet. And trying to think, is there anything I know of that I can't talk about? No, there isn't. So, yeah, that's all I got.
All right, Paris, that was just my quick question, man. I'm good talking to you as always. Love the new episode of Gamer Tag Radio. I already, I'm hyped for tomorrow night.
No, I appreciate that and appreciate you coming up. Hope you have a good day. And I'm going to talk on that as I bring you down and bring the next person up, which is going to be Mark. Yeah, so what he's talking about is Danny and I reviewed Jedi Survivor on Gamertag Radio today. And yeah, if you get a chance, check it out. I know Danny put a video with some clips of what we talked about on social media. So that's on my Twitter feed right now as well. I think it's great. I think it's one of the best Star Wars experiences ever, honestly. I mean, I've grown up with Star Wars and the lore, and just like it is Star Wars, like, to, and it builds upon Fallen Order, takes the good parts of Fallen Order, brings it into this new game with Survivor, and the music, the atmosphere, the Jedi, you know, the lightsaber battles that you're having, the exploration, everything just feels like Star Wars. And tip of the cap to Respawn, because I think they've done such a fantastic job. It again just credits them as one of the best game developers in the industry right now. Now, does it have performance issues? Yep, because I played it before whatever this day one patch is going to be. So I don't know if these things are going to get resolved on the day one patch. And I played it on the Series X, but there are some issues with audio. It crashed on me a few times. Frame rate. I did the performance mode at 60. It was not holding a steady 60 at all. So hopefully, fingers crossed, those things get ironed out at launch. But they weren't bad enough to take away from the experience. I think it's the most important thing. So we'll obviously see here on Friday once everybody gets their hands on it. But I think don't let anybody spoil the story for you. Let's put it that way. I think a lot, you're going to enjoy it. It is absolutely going to be a Game of the Year contender, 100%. So, Mark, I know you're there. How are you?
Hey, good, Paris. How are you, man?
Good.
Hey, I know you got a bunch, so I'll keep it quick. But I got kind of a curveball question for you. So, you know, you go back to the Xbox One generation, right? Xbox didn't really have a lot cooking. And it seemed like, I keep thinking back, I think back often about this, that first E3 of the Series X, I mean, Microsoft really almost had a point to come out and show, hey, we've got these games in the pipeline, right? Fable was there. We had, so much stuff. We had The Outer Worlds 2, all these games that are still not out today. And I just wonder, I'm curious, if you think back to that E3, do you think that approach was, did it do enough good to buy, did it do enough good to buy interest that early in some of these games that were 4 to 5 years out? Or do you think now Xbox is, have they kind of created more weight on this pile that seems to rest on their shoulders of, hey, you can't get games out, right? Did they get in their own way? So I'm just curious. I think back to that E3 a bunch and their approach there versus, you know, lately kind of, again, our last E3, all right, everything in the next 12 months, right, is what their focus was. So I'm just curious if you think going back to start this generation, if that was the right approach.
Yeah, if you go back to the start of the generation, and again, let's we obviously know what the state of the world was when all that happened. Partly excuse, but not 100% excuse, right? Was it a mistake? As we sit here today, before whatever is going to happen here in June, I mean, it leans closer to mistake than actually being a good thing, right? We know of certain things, but we've just simply not seen them. They got to start showing this stuff.
Yeah.
They do.
Where's content?
I mean, it's that simple. There you go. That's another one. You have to start showing these things. Show me Avowed. Show me Contraband. You know, I talked about this already, but Perfect Dark, Fable, you know, Everwild. Start showing me these things. We got to see them. I mean, it's that simple. So we'll see. I think, you know, Redfall is out next week. We can obviously judge that accordingly when that drops. No, I do not have it now. I've not played it. So my only experience was the preview. But we'll see what that's going to be next week. And I think the big one, Starfield. Starfield will say a lot for what Xbox Game Studios is going to be moving forward. My personal opinion, I think it will be fine. I do. But can't say that 100%, which is the problem. We don't know. So Starfield has to deliver. Just does. Period. So
we'll agreed. See. I'm looking forward to it, man. Thanks for answering.
Oh, of course. Hope you have a good day. And let's keep this move. What time is it here? Probably do this about another 10, 15 minutes. So let me see if I can get through the rest of these people. Hey, it's all good. Let me bring you up.
Hello?
Yep.
How's it going, man? How are you?
Good.
Yeah, so I actually wanted to talk about some things that 108 Dragon said. I think he made some good points, and you also made some good points. Like, at the end of the day, like, I think the fact that we should just, you know, be able to focus on gaming and just love that we have this thing called gaming and that we get to explore all these different worlds and everything is like just great. You know, it doesn't matter where you play. It's just the fact that we get to experience it, you know? Mm-hmm. But I just 108 Dragon kind of said some things I kind of disagree with just when it kind of comes to like, you know, there's really no game on console that's worth playing where I have to respectfully disagree because if it weren't for Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok would have won Game of the Year last year because it was a great game. So I think console gaming will always be here. And I think that it's, you know, it's good that people have console gaming because, like you said, you know, not everyone has a minimum $1,000 to drop on a PC.
Right.
But no, I mean, like, other than that, like, I think everyone here has made a lot of great points. I just kind of wanted to throw in my two cents because well, console gaming isn't for everyone. I think that, I mean, it's one of the best things that we have as kids is, you know, when it comes to gaming, like I feel like everyone here, you know, has that feeling of, you know, whether it's Christmas Day and you open your presents and you got an Xbox or a PlayStation, like I think, console gaming's here to stay. And I think Xbox, you know, they've kind of said, hey, we're taking a loss on these consoles and that's fine because we know not everyone's going to game on console. And let's be real. They've said their strategy going forward is we want people to play Xbox games on whatever they can get their hands on. So I personally think, and this is where my question comes from, I personally think that the decline in hardware, while it's not good, it's not also bad because they've kind of been transparent with their plan. What do you kind of have for that, I guess?
No, and you make a great point on that. That's kind of the thing. They've been upfront about this for the past 3 years about what the strategy is. And again, let's take the example of the hardcore PC gamer. If, like, again, I'm not saying this to brag or anything, but my PC, i9 processor, 32 gigs of RAM, 4090 GPU, I do not need an Xbox. I don't. I do not need an Xbox to play any of these games. I can play all of them. Most times I am playing on my PC versus playing on the console, right? Because the kids are out on the TV or doing whatever. So to that point, if I've already invested all this money into the hardware for my PC and Xbox is giving me the option to play their games on what is the superior hardware, let's keep it a buck here. I'm playing at 4K. I'm playing at high frames. I have ray tracing enabled. I'm doing DLSS 3 and all this other shit, right? I can do all that on here. Why would I go buy an Xbox? There's no point. And they and to their point, they're good with that.
Exactly.
Because you're investing in their ecosystem. And I think that's where we need to understand that not everyone that is going to play these Xbox games are necessarily going to want to buy the Series X and S, and they're okay with that. But you know, the caveat to that is You got to give me the games to actually play.
Exactly. You got to give me the games to get invested into your ecosystem.
Yeah. And that's all it is, in my
opinion. I appreciate it. I completely agree. So I just want to say thank you. And also, a good name drop on Replaced. I drafted that for my fantasy team, but I hope it's good.
So a little inside baseball on that one. So when I did the Xbox showcase in 2021, that's when it first revealed, right? So we were backstage doing all the stuff, right? I saw it and I go, oh shit. I go, this looks amazing.
Right, yeah.
That's when I knew it was that moment. I knew, I go, this is going to be my game. So I've been anticipating that ever since. But yeah. I'm really looking forward to it when it drops.
Well, thanks man. Thanks again.
Yeah, you too. Have a good day. All right. So let me try and get through these because I'm definitely going to get out here in a few more minutes. Pro Killer Dante, bringing you up. And you should be there. How are you doing? You're on mute if you're talking. And you're still on mute. Going once, going twice, and he's not there. All right, I will keep it moving. Request to come back up if you figure out your mic. And Casper, bringing you up. And you should be there. You're on mute.
Hello.
There we go. There we go.
How you doing, Paris? So I know
good.
I know you're trying to get out of here soon, so I'll make it kind of short. There wasn't that many complaints when Xbox released the big hitters. I think in 2021 when they had Forza and then Halo, and I think one of the months the console I think beat out PS5 in sales. Like that was I think the best quarter they had. And I believe they might have that again come summer, end of summer, you know, fall when Starfield is out and they have the showcase. But my question is, after that, if we get another quarter where there's nothing happening, are we going to start looking at leadership, or are we going to say, oh, they just don't have it yet? They don't have them in the pipeline yet.
That's a tough one to answer because, I mean, obviously we need to understand the reason why, if that were to be the case, right? You know, I've been banging the drum for a while. It's about communication. Communicate. Help us as the customer understand why, if you're not delivering on a certain thing, right? Why did this get delayed again? Why is this happening? Da, 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 da. Because we've gone so long. Here's the thing. Let me back it up and explain it this way. We went an entire calendar year without a major release from Xbox Game Studios. Yes, Pentiment was a fun experience, but that is not a AAA game. Obviously, Grounded had been around, finally came into 1.0. That was it. So you went an entire calendar year without a release. Obviously, we know the struggles that Halo had last year for delivering content as well. So that did not help. So when you have that extended period of not delivering things, and then you do your showcase a year ago, you did the 12-month strategy, and for various reasons, obviously, a few of those games fell out of that 12-month window as well. That's when you got to get out in front of it and communicate with your audience and explain why. Because if you don't communicate, guess what happens? Spaces like this where people come up and we speculate, and speculations run wild. If you're definitive with reasons why certain things happen, there's no speculation because we know. You know what I mean? So if they don't communicate, if things slip again and there's no communication on that, then, I mean, who else do you point the finger at that point? Someone has to be accountable at that point.
Yeah, and I think that's where Microsoft needs to start looking at, or Xbox needs to start looking at PlayStation's strategy on how we know this year they had the Horizon DLC. They only have two really big games that we know it's coming out this year, but to satiate people, and I believe the showcase will happen, right? And like, what is it? End of May, June. And that will, like, you know, that's the downtime. This is Sony's downtime. But in the downtime, they have something lined up. And I think somebody mentioned in the spaces before, and I think that's Xbox's problem, is not having these little things in the chamber. When things are slow, we can satiate the audience. And I just wonder, is that going to happen again after Starfield is out? And I guess that's the concern.
And those, they have to be answered in June. Like, they have to answer that question. Like I said before, I speculate that Hellblade 2 is coming out this year. I hope it does. I really do. I mean, because if you think about it, that was the very first game that we saw with the Series X in 2019. You know what I mean? So it's more, we're overdue for that game coming out. So knock on wood, I hope it does. But to your point, this is where you got to start filling in the gaps. I will go back again and do shameless promotion. Matt Booty came on Kind of Funny, and he said with Greg and Tim and those guys, the goal is to get to have a release every quarter coming from their internal studios. They're not there yet. Are we going to get there at the end of this year and go into 2024 and beyond with that kind of cadence? If they can get to that, we're not complaining. There's no one. Look, if they get to that kind of cadence, we're not worrying about hardware, console sales. We're not worrying about who's subscribing to Game Pass. We're not doing any of that stuff. We're not worried about Activision, none of that. All we're worrying about is, oh man, I can't wait till the next great game comes out next quarter. That's it.
You're right. And that was 2021. Like the fall of 2021. That was it. And then nobody really complained, actually. That was, I think, one of the best years one of the best quarters that Series X and Series S had. So,
yeah, agreed.
Well, I appreciate you answering the questions, and big fan of yours, and I hope you keep going in the gaming spaces for a while. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Hope you have a good day. I don't know. My old ass needs to slow down. I don't know if I'm going to keep doing it too much longer, but we'll see. Let's see. Retired Gamer. See, that's going to be my name. I'm going to steal your name. I'm going to be the Retired Gamer. Bringing you up. Are you there? Got a lot of static.
Hey, Paris, can you hear me, man? Sorry about that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, a little static, but it's okay. Go ahead.
Sure, doing? I'll be real quick. Just a quick question was, as far as Developer Directs, I know we obviously have the June show coming up. Do you anticipate that they'll have a Developer Direct for the fall? If they do that, I mean, you know, are we going to look at it? Maybe a Hellblade 2? You know, could they do something where they push Hellblade's date reveal off till then? Do you think there won't be a Developer Direct in the fall? How do you kind of see that playing out?
If I was at Xbox and I was a part of that decision-making process, I'll tell you exactly what I would do. I would have my June showcase. I would show Hellblade 2 there. I would put a date on it. Let's just pretend it's November 8th, 2023, right? I would say that. And then I would also say, look for a Hellblade 2 Developer Direct in October or something like that, where that'll be the deeper dive into Hellblade leading up to the launch. Essentially what they're doing right now with Starfield, because they're basically saying, hey, we're doing our showcase. We're going to give you an extended look right after the showcase. And then 2 months later, you get the game. I would imagine that would be the smart play to do. Again, if it's Hellblade 2, whatever it's going to be, because I'm convinced there's something else that will come out at the end of the year major from them. So, yeah, probably like late September, early October, I would do another one for whatever that game is going to be like in November. So I would say so, because I think that first Developer Direct, I like it. I liked it. I liked the format of it. I liked the developers themselves talking about their games. I think it was good. Do more of that, in my opinion. So yeah, I would hope so.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Good stuff.
No, appreciate it. Appreciate you coming up. Hope you have a good day. All right. Looks like I got one more person coming up, and I think I'm going to get out of here. So this looks like Remarin. I hope I'm saying that right. Bring you up.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, I do. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I really enjoyed your Gamertag Radio review of Star Wars, so I'm really excited for that. Thanks.
Appreciate that.
So I'm more of a comment because, you know, we're talking about, like, why would you get an Xbox over, like, if you have, like, a high-end gaming PC or anything like that? And I know I'm kind of anecdotal, but I just wanted to share my experience because, me, I have a high-end gaming PC just like you. I have a 4080, not a 4090, but close enough. And I'm going to play Redfall, you know, on my PC. However...
Me too.
However, me too. You know, I have a Series X. I also have a Logitech G Cloud. And, you know, when I'm hanging out with my family and we're not doing anything, but we're together, I might, you know, remote into my Xbox through my G Cloud and play, you know, 30 frames per second, but I'm playing, you know, on a small screen. And when I took a trip, you know, last November, you know, I was in a hotel, in a convention, waiting, you know, waiting in line sometimes, I would play my Persona 5 playthrough over the cloud using my G Cloud. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that Xbox's strategy is that all of these things just work together seamlessly. And I think for me personally, I think that's the magic. And that's why I usually prefer paying something on Xbox than my PlayStation, just because I know I can take that with me wherever I go. So I just wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, and I think you said that perfectly, because that's why, you know, I said this way earlier, but that's why I believe in the strategy of what Xbox is doing for that very reason. And I've had similar experiences to what you're saying. I could be here in the office on my PC playing Minecraft Legends as an example, right? Go off into the living room, pick it right back up.
Exactly.
On my Xbox, or if the kids are out there, I go into the playroom where the S is and I can play it on there. Or I can pick it up. I have the Logitech G Cloud. I can pick it up and play it there. This is why I'm excited about that Asus Ally, I think you're saying it, whatever, that handheld that's coming out, because it will do native, you know, Game Pass, right? So now I don't have to cloud stream. I don't need an internet connection. I can, wherever I am, literally pick it up, kind of like what I do with the Steam Deck right now when, you know, when I'm on a plane or something like that. But the point is, now it's all connected together. The cloud saves sync. Even if I don't have to worry about buying the game on Steam to have the Xbox game, it's on the Xbox after game, like all that stuff. And then it just works. That's kind of the magic secret sauce of what Xbox is trying to do and why I'm a fan of it, and why, you know, I joke around on social media, Game Pass, the best value in gaming, and people get mad and all that kind of stuff. Because when it works, that's great. To just, I own the game. Whatever device I have handy, I can just play it. My saves carry over, all that stuff is great. So I'm rooting for this to succeed. I want it to succeed 100%. My kids freaking love it. They want it to succeed. It's smart, in my opinion. But, and that's the whole reason we're talking now, but deliver the games.
Yep, that's exactly that's right. I'm 100% with you.
Yeah, that's literally all it is. Deliver the games. I'm telling you, we could have the spaces a year from now, and if they get consistent with releasing great games, Starfield's great, Forza's great, Hellblade's great, I don't know, Avowed, whatever the hell else is coming, you know, in the next 12 months, all that stuff is great. We're not complaining. We're just going to play the games and enjoy them. Period.
Totally agree. Thanks so much, Paris, for having me on.
No, appreciate it. Appreciate you coming up. And with that, I think I'm going to go ahead and end this. The Lakers are playing in less than an hour. I'm watching Hillbilly Kobe hitting threes as he's warming up right now in Memphis. So I'm excited for that. And yeah, I appreciate everybody coming up, talking, some great questions, some great perspective. Because again, I don't know nothing. I'm a moron. So I'm not saying I'm right about any of this stuff. I just get my perspective, and I love to hear other people's perspective as well. But yeah, it's, you know, it's obviously been an interesting day with all the Activision stuff, but let's see what happens over the next month or so, obviously, with Xbox and the showcase. And, you know, obviously PlayStation, I'm sure they're going to have their showcase, you know, here pretty soon as well. It's an exciting time. I mean, Jedi Survivor, everyone's going to get on Friday. It's fantastic. Highly recommend it. It's been a good first half of the year for games, and I think the second half is going to be pretty good too. So thank you all for coming up. Hope you all have a great rest of the day, and I think I'll do this again soon. Talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.